It's so great, no matter how you've come, it's so great that you're here today, and we love having new people join us at CP Church. Now, Christmas is right around the corner. It's right around the corner. Very scary, I know. It's almost here. The year's almost over. And when you think about Christmas, I wonder, what is it that you think about? Well, oftentimes, you know, it's an image like this, isn't it? Like, clearly this is a stock image. People look happy, don't they? And they're happy because, you know, Christmas is a time of celebration. It's joy. There's presents, there's food. You know, it's a time of having fun, celebration together. But when you think about Christmas celebrations, if you actually stop and think about it, what is it that makes Christmas celebrations so special? What is it that makes them so good? It isn't actually the food. It isn't actually the presents, although they help, obviously. The key ingredient to the joy of Christmas is actually people, isn't it? It's people. And I think we all know this to be true. Like when you think about having a Christmas feast, a Christmas celebration, you never think about doing that alone, do you? For example, you don't see ads on TV, like Woolies doesn't have an ad for their Christmas products, and it's just like one random guy sitting at his table eating a ham, right? Like there's something a bit odd about that. It's not quite, you know, it doesn't feel quite right. And it's not just a Christmas where this is true, right? There's something fundamentally human about doing life together, about doing life in community, about being connected to others, about being known, about being loved. And let me tell you why that is. It's because of this. It's because we are made for relationship. We are made for relationship. God has created us not to do this thing called life all by ourselves, but actually together with others, in community, in relationships. This shouldn't surprise us, I'm sure. Because, you know, for many of you, if I ask you, what's the most important thing for you? Many of you would say to me, family and friends, right? So important. Good, healthy relationships. That's something we all long for. Who doesn't want that? But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Oftentimes, our relationships struggle, don't they? Our relationships are hard. People let us down. People disappoint us. People break promises. People neglect us. People sometimes forget it. People seem like they just don't care sometimes. And maybe you're here today, and that's how you feel. The Christmas season is a hard one. It might be a happy one for other people, but for you, it's a reminder of past hurts, or maybe ongoing conflict right now, or present loneliness. I read a recent study, and the study actually cited this, that 1 in 4 Australians actually say they are suffering from loneliness. A quarter of Australians would say that they are incredibly lonely. And Christmas time can be the hardest time. Christmas for you might be a reminder of hard, broken relationships. And if that's you today, I'm so sorry if that's the case. I'm so glad you've chosen to spend your Christmas Sunday with us. But I'm so glad you're here today, not only because we love welcoming newcomers into our community, but because there's some fantastic news that I'd love to share with you today, some news that will give you hope even in the midst of broken relationships. I want to share with you today why, despite all the messiness of life, the realities of relational breakdown and loneliness, that we can still celebrate on Christmas Day because of this. There's a relationship available to you that will never let you down, that will never let you down. The good news is this, that we can have a relationship with our Creator God, the one who loves you more than you can even possibly imagine. This is the relationship that will completely transform your life. And Christmas is a story of how this is possible. This is a story of God with us. Let me read to you from the scriptures of Matthew that we heard before. Let me read this to you again. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, there's a lot to take in here for the Christmas story. There's angels, there's a virgin conceiving, but I want you to just focus on these passages. Particularly, we're going to look at the names of Jesus, who Jesus is. And the first is this, the Savior. Have you ever looked up what your name means? I don't know if you guys have ever looked up what your name means. I looked up what my name means. I don't know if you guys know this, but my real name is Ignatius. It's not Iggy. Some people get quite shocked when I tell them. And the name Ignatius actually is derived from the Latin root ignis, which means fiery one, right? Like ignition or ignite sort of thing. Now, when my parents name me, my parents are here, you can ask them, I don't know if they had in mind that's who I would be, like a fiery one. I think that's a good name for my daughter, Maya, actually, in retrospect. I probably should have named her that. I don't think that's why they named me that. Well, actually, I know that's not why. I know they saw a politician on the news with the name Ignatius, and they thought, oh, that's a good name, and they decided to name me that, right? But with Jesus, it's different. His name is heavy with significance. It's very significant. Do you know what Jesus actually means? The word Jesus. It means Savior. It actually means Savior. Verse 21 says this, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. On Christmas, we celebrate because it's the birth of the Savior. Here's the thing. We all need saving. But most of us don't even realize that. I'm sure you realize in your life there's circumstances that you probably need help with, that you probably need a bit of rescuing from. You might acknowledge that, oh, I need saving from that. But let me tell you about something. The problem isn't really out there. The biggest problem is in here. It's in our hearts. Because sin lives here. Something called sin lives here. It causes us, and this sin, it causes us to live our lives selfishly. It causes us not to love people like we should. It causes us to do things and say things that we regret, or at least I know that's me. And sin, well, because of that sin, it impacts all of our relationships. Perhaps you've pushed those closest to you away, and you're holding them at arm's length because of guilt and shame in your life over some things that you might have done. Maybe it's pride that you're pushing them away because you can't really acknowledge your mistakes of a conflict that happened in the past. Or maybe for you, you've been sinned against, and the ones you've trusted the most have hurt you in a way where you feel like you don't know if you can recover or trust people ever again. Or maybe you're in a completely different boat, and you're here today, and your life's been good, and you haven't had too much conflict, you're a pretty good person, and when I talk about sin, you're thinking, I'm not sure if this applies to me. But out of love, let me say this. Whoever you are, whatever your situation, you need help. We all need help. Because sin doesn't just impact our human relationships, it definitely does, but it impacts our most important relationship, and that's our relationship with God, the one who created us. Sin cuts us off from God. It builds this wall between us and God, so we can't reach Him, we can't get to Him. And without a relationship with God, let me tell you something, friends, our souls will never be satisfied. For all of us, there's a relational hole here in our hearts that we try and fill in many different ways. Maybe that's with artificial, social media connections. Maybe it's with cheap hookups. Maybe it's with a cycle of romantic relationships or just getting into more and more different relationships. Maybe it's with porn. I don't know what it is, but there's a hole in our hearts that we try and fill, that sense of intimacy that we want, that connection with others that we want, that we try to fill with all these different things. But we all know as we seek after all those things, they're so temporary. They leave us feeling so empty. Friends, we were made for so much more. We were made for a relationship with God, the one who created us, the one who loves us. And when we are connected with Him, it's like a thirsty man drinking water for the first time. It satisfies our souls. And Jesus, He's the one that gives us this gift. Here's the good news this Christmas, friends. Jesus saves. And He does that by forgiving our sins so that the wall between us and God can be broken down and we can be connected with Him again. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a broken relationship reconciled, but there's nothing quite like that, is there? There's nothing quite like the feeling of a hug after a big argument, of hearing the words, I forgive you, after you've apologized. The joy of a relationship restored. And this is what you can have with God because of Jesus the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. But not only that, Jesus is also God with us. Let me read to you from verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We read here of an ancient prophecy thousands and thousands of years ago about someone who would come and be named Emmanuel, to be God with us. And this prophecy, we're told, is fulfilled on that very first Christmas when Jesus Christ is born. Jesus comes as the Savior, but to do that, think about it, he can't just come as any normal guy, no matter what, how good he was. No normal man could be the Savior of the whole world. Jesus comes as God himself. On Christmas, we actually remember a foundational and mind-blowing truth of the Christian faith. We call it the incarnation, that God actually steps down from his heavenly throne and into our world in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. God comes to be with us. That's what his name means, God with us. And take a minute to just process how mind-blowing that actually is. This is God we're talking about, the God who spoke this world into creation with just a word, the God who is so holy and transcendent and so far apart from us that he shouldn't be anywhere near us, the God who is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. This God, our God, comes to be with us. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves you. We all want relationship. We all want love. And I hope today that you'll see that where we find real relationship, where we'll find real love, is actually not in human relationships. It's in God, with God. God loves us so much. He loves us so much that he doesn't wait for us to somehow maybe find him. He loves us so much that he comes to find us. Now, if you think of powerful, important rulers, you don't often use the word accessible. It's not the first word that comes to mind, accessible. You can't, like, say, for example, you can't just drop around the Prime Minister's house for a bubble tea or something like that. You know, it just doesn't work like that. You know, there's security, there's, you know, boundaries. You can't do that. When you think of kings, right, in the old courts, you think of them cordoned off from the common people. They have guards all around them. Like the old emperors of China, for example, in the Forbidden City, I don't know if anyone's ever been here, literally called the Forbidden City because no common person could step inside there. You weren't allowed to come near to the royalty. But our king's different. Our God wants a relationship with us, so much so that he steps out. He doesn't just leave the castle door slightly ajar so that maybe if you're brave enough, you might stumble in and in fear come and approach him. He steps out of that door. He comes to the people in common clothes. He wants to be with his people. He humbles himself to be on our level. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, who stepped down from his royal throne and into the messiness of our human lives. And he comes, when we think about Christmas, remember this, he comes not with impressive power and glamour or anything like that. He comes as a little vulnerable baby in a feeding trough, in a stable, a dirty stable. That's how he comes. This is our humble king who loves us so much that he would come. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And what that means for all of us today is this. You don't need to find your way to God. God has come to find you. You don't need to find your way to God. God has come to find you. Many people believe that all religions are the same, and maybe you're here today and you believe that as well, that, you know, all religions are sort of like this, that God is at the top of the mountain, and we're all on a journey to come and find God. We just got to climb the mountain. Maybe we're starting on different sides of the mountains, our paths are a little bit different, but eventually we all end up at the same destination. You know, if we climb hard enough, if we work hard enough, we're going to find God. We'll get there. But here's the good news of the Christian faith. This is what makes it different. That God doesn't wait for us to come and get to him, to work our way up to him. Maybe one day we'll get to him. He comes down the mountain to find us. This is incredible. He steps down from the summit to come and find us. He comes down the mountain and takes our hand and says, "You can stop looking now." This is the love of God, that he comes to us. And he opens up his arms wide to those who have run away from him. And he invites us back into relationship with him. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what the circumstances are for you, I don't know what's going on in your life, but there's one thing I do know, is that God loves you. God loves you. He loves you so much that he came to this earth to find you. Maybe you've been trying to find God through a lot of different ways, through being a good person, being a kind person. I was talking to someone earlier today, and they were relaying to me how You know, the meaning of Christmas, what's the meaning of Christmas for them is to be a kind person. Yeah. Maybe that's you, being a good person, being a kind person, doing good deeds to others. Maybe you've been trying to find God by being religious, by attending church, you know, at least a few times a year, Christmas, Easter, occasional prayers, maybe even opening up the Bible sometimes. Or maybe you have some other kind of spiritual religion, spirituality. Maybe it's something else that you've been seeking to try and connect with God somehow. Today, I just want to share the good news with you, that you can stop trying all those things because God has come to find you. You don't need to find your way to God. God has come to find you. He's come to find you. And let me tell you, this Christmas, that's the greatest gift we could ever ask for. God has come to us in Jesus Christ, and He's holding a gift out to you this Christmas. All you have to do is receive it, to take it. This Christmas, our invitation to you as a church is to start discovering who Jesus is. Start getting to know Him. Just start the journey. Because when you get to know Jesus, you'll know a love that nothing in this world can compare to. Here's the thing. Jesus Christ won't change His mind because He's bored of you. He won't abandon you because you haven't lived up to His expectations. He won't leave you because He saw someone better and decided to go after them. Jesus, His love for you is a wholehearted devotion to you, so much so that He would step down from heaven to come and find you. That's how much He loves you. And which is why at Christmas, the world stops to celebrate. We celebrate God with us. What amazing news. Friends, you don't need to find your way to God. God has come to find you. And that's the greatest gift that we could ever ask for. Can I pray for us? Let me pray. Father God, we are so thankful to You. Thankful that You haven't left us apart, alienated from You, apart from You, but that You've actually come to us in Christ to be with us. Thank You that we can have forgiveness of sins. Thank You that You are near. Thank You that we can have relationship when we didn't deserve it or didn't even want it at all. Ultimately, we just want to say thank You that You love us so much. This Christmas, amidst all the celebration, help us to celebrate this more than anything else. That God is with us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.